What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 216. And as always, our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that of course gives us a little kickback and of course, you know, helps the podcast keep on going. With me as always is Ryan. What's up, Ryan?
Not a whole lot. It's kind of slowed down this week. Like last week was just like a mess at work, like the last 2 weeks before that. But this week's kind of slowed down a little. I feel like things are under control. So I'm just kind of ready to podcast, play some games.
Play some games.
What about you?
It made me think that spring was here with the weather. And then it went back to being cold again. So
Yeah,
it's really really happy and really pumped. Like I was out on the deck on my laptop, like, you know, I had dinner out there a couple nights ago and now it's super cold. So it was like a tease. It gave me a little bit of a tease. So it wasn't very, I wasn't really pumped about that. Yeah. But we hope everybody out there is doing well with obviously with everything going on and hopefully you're all doing your social distancing or at least trying to. I know it's hard for some people. We have a lot to talk about this week, a lot of really cool tech stuff to talk about this week. One, I'm not wearing my green heads.
You're not. I know. I saw that. I was like, what's going on? You're wearing that HyperX.
I'm wearing the wireless ones. You don't sound as good as the wired ones, but I don't want wires right now. I don't want to be restricted. So you also have wireless headphones on as well. So, if you want to follow along with what we're going to talk about this week, we have our show notes page that is up. It is in the description of this review. If you're listening on audio and you want to follow along, it is in the description of whatever podcasting app you're using as well. So it's in there. So we'll start with our reviews this week and two products which are insanely useful to me, I would say. The first one should be for most people. Is a mouse. And I think that we've talked about this for a while is that, you know, gaming mice, the lightweight thing, I talked about it, how I thought it was stupid and how, you know, it was kind of gimmicky, but I've fallen in love. If you guys have been following the podcast or our reviews, I've fallen in love with lightweight gaming mice. They put less stress on your wrist. It's easier to move around. I'm not somebody who wants a lot of buttons because I mainly play FPS. So these are kind of designed like that. And for the most part, all of the lightweight gaming mice that I reviewed have been ambidextrous, meaning that they're the same shape. They're not made for left or right hand. Finally, Glorious PC Gaming Race, who gave us the Model O, they came out with the Model D, which is a right-handed gaming mouse. And I have to say, it's one of the most comfortable gaming mice that I've ever used.
Cool. So is it like, it's not super sculpted, I don't think, right? But it's just enough that you would want to use it as a left-handed person, right?
Yeah, you would not. Yeah, it's made for right-handed, somebody who is right-handed. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, it's like I said, you can see the difference between the two. So here in the white right here, that's the Model O. Right. The Model D here, you can see it is, you know, they're like I said, they're slightly different. But it's just enough that it just gives you that better feel. It just does. And I was a huge fan of the Model O. I mean, that was a mouse that I've been using for a very long time. So just getting that, you know, just that nice feel. It's just really, really awesome. It is super lightweight, 68 grams, which is not a lot. So it flows across the desk really well. On the bottom, it has these really nice mouse feet, as you can see here. And you can see all these cutouts. So the cutouts are, of course, what make it so light. You have so much of this mouse cut out. You know, you have it on the bottom there. You also, you know, have it all along the top here as well. And again, the lightweight thing, I would just say, just use one of these mice. And, you know, like I said, if you buy on Amazon, you get 30 days to return it. I think that, you know, using this and getting used to it, it feels like I don't know. It's really hard to explain because, again, I really wasn't a fan of these mice. And now,
You don't ever notice like the perforation like on the mouse buttons, right? Because your finger pads, like, they sit in front of them, right? So you don't even notice that
texture. Yeah, you don't feel, I don't feel the texture on my palm. Mm-hmm. I really don't feel it at all. It's just, yeah, like I just don't at all. And another thing that's really awesome about these mice is they have this super lightweight cabling that's just so different from your normal either braided or rubber cable. It's just nice. It doesn't feel like you don't feel any drag. So that's important because I've had mice that I love the mouse, but the actual cabling was like just gave me drag. And you know how annoying that can be.
I hate that feeling.
Like, you know, you missed a shot because of the drag. And like, it sounds really stupid, but you actually really do.
That's real, yeah.
So this, and they've actually retooled it from the Model O. So they have this, a newer version of the cable on this one, which feels even better. And also the coating on this compared to the Model O just feels better as well. So I think they've made some really great improvements. It uses the same sensor and the same buttons. So you have Omron switches, and then you have a PixArt sensor, optical sensor in there. It's just, like I said, it's an awesome mouse. It has RGB lighting. I think most of these mice do. The software is decent. It's not great, but it does allow you to completely reprogram the mouse. It allows you to set up to, I believe, 5 different DPI levels. It's super easy to use as well. So, you know, it's not the most in-depth software, but it works and it gets the job done. You can see the RGB lighting. You just have like all of these, you have 2 stripes on each side, and then the scroll wheel lights up there. And it's all controlled. Like, there's not individually lighting zones. I don't think a lot of people are worried about that, but some other companies offer that. But all in all, it's just, like I said, I never thought I would like these lightweight mice, and I'm absolutely in love with them. And this one in particular is the most comfortable mouse that I think I've ever used. So
10 out of 10 in editor's choice.
Yeah, 10 out of 10 editor's choice. And what's really interesting is the first time I played a game with this, like literally the first game, I loaded up Apex with this, like once I connected it, you know, and I got a 7 kill game, which is pretty good if you guys watch us. so I got a 7, like first game, 7 kill, won the game.
Nice.
I was like, I'm sold on this. But no, I've been using it for a decent, you know, a decent while. And I love it. I don't think I might get the white one just to match my
like 50 bucks. That's a pretty good deal.
Yeah. I think that again, like these made for FPS mice, you're really not going to get much over 50 bucks.
Yeah.
Just for the fact that one, it's wired. 2, you don't have any like tons of extra buttons. They don't go crazy on the RGB. That's really not made, you know, but like I said, it's just a good mouse. And like I said, it's sitting here, I'm using it. It's just that good. So like I said, yeah, I gave it a 10 out of 10. Editor's choice. I honestly couldn't find anything wrong. And I think that one of the issues with the Model D is that the sides kind of felt a little cheap. Like if you press them,
they flex a bit.
Yeah, they flexed a bit, which again wasn't a big deal because I don't hold my mouse like that.
Yeah.
But on this one, there's none of that. So like I said, and they improved the cable. Like I said, just, you know, 50 bucks, you can't complain with that price either. So yeah, awesome, cool. Awesome mouse. And then, just, you know, we've talked about,
believe there's another one.
I mean, everybody's making them. So,
they are.
You know, I think we're actually going to do a roundup because there's so many of these little portable, solid state drives. So portable solid state drives, last year we saw USB 3.2 Gen 1 or USB 3.1 Gen 1, whatever you want to call it. This year we're seeing USB 3.2 Gen 2, which essentially almost doubles the speed of the drive. So Lexar sent us over their SL100. Again, simple little small drive. I think, do I have it here? No, I don't have it within reaching distance, I don't think. No, I don't have it over here. But it's just this super, super little drive. And what's great about it is it's super fast. This is rated for 950 megabytes per second. And I think 950 and 900. And you get a lot of storage. This is offered in 500 and 1 terabyte versions. Super small drive. 1 single connection on it, which is a USB Type-C. They give you a Type-C to Type-C and a Type-C to Type-A cable if you have an older computer. Or, you know, it is backwards compatible. So it'll work with anything down to USB 1.1, I believe. And it's just fast. It's just a fast drive. That's all, you know. I love these drives for portability. This can be put in your pocket. It is solid state. So for the most part, unless you really break the USB connection on it, it's going to, you know, you can drop it. You can, you know, throw it in a book bag and throw your book bag around. You don't, you know, it's not like your typical hard drive where you have to really worry about dropping it or things like that. This one does have software and encryption on it, unlike the other ones that we reviewed. So it does come with this free software called ENC Data Vault, which I never used before. It allows you to create like a secure vault, easy to back up files. It is the light version, so you don't get like a full, you know, synchronization. You just, you can throw files in your protected data vault. You can't, you know, synchronize things. But like I said, I think that it's just a fast drive. I mean, if you look at these speeds, I mean, you know, for a portable drive, that's super fast. You know, I use these drives,
like we always say, that's awesome. Yeah,
I use these drives for like editing all my videos on, just because it's just really easy. You know what I mean? And editing 4K content on that type of speed is, you know, awesome. And then it allows me to not have to worry about transferring all these files to a portable drive and then onto a laptop. If I'm traveling, I can just do it all in one drive. It's super easy there. So I gave this one, I believe I gave this a 9 out of 10, maybe. No, I gave this one a 10 out of 10 as well. Cause like, what can you say wrong about it?
I mean, as long as it like does what it's supposed to do and pretty much at the numbers that they've spec'd it out. I mean,
yeah.
It's the drive and form factor reminds me of some of those. I think it's like the Atomos drive caddies. If you ever saw those, they were like, one kind of reminded me of that, but no, that's awesome.
Yeah. Like I said, it's just a nice little drive. You know, like I said, it's hard to really fault these drives because they perform up to their specs. They're made well. This one has an aluminum body as well. So, you know, again, if you does, it's going to be protected.
Does it have like a dust filter or like a rubber?
That's the only thing.
So, for the plug?
No. So most of these that we review do not. The A-Data one does. Mm-hmm. And that one's IP68.
Water. I think.
Yeah. But most of them. So like, here's another one that we reviewed last week. I think it just has the open end like that as well. You know, I'm sure you are too. It's like, we want to protect our data and have that covered. But I think a lot of products, they don't.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. It's like an extra thing, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, any of these portable drives that we reviewed in the past, I don't know, a couple of weeks, highly recommended just for the fact that super fast speed, super portable, you can throw them around. So I would highly recommend one of those for sure.
Cool.
But we move on to Case Mod Friday, and we have another build in a Li and Li case. Who would have thought? In the O11 Dynamic XL, which is the bigger version, so you can actually fit more in there. And this one is done by Declassified Systems. I think we featured a couple of his builds before. The reason I picked this one is just for this right here, for that tubing. Absolutely perfect lines of the hard tubing, it's all custom into this. I don't know, just it goes through the case, I guess. And you can't go wrong with red and white either. We've seen it so much on these builds, but just an awesome build there. And I really like that, you know, a lot of people they make a custom res, like a custom,
That plate there? It's not a distro plate, I don't think.
Yeah. So they make like a custom distro plate with a res, but he didn't. And I actually think it looks really cool. Just like, this is like a stock reservoir that you would buy, right? And I actually kind of like that he kind of left it that way, because we see so many people using either the distro plate in the front or right here.
Yep.
And he didn't do that. So I kind of actually like that. Oh, I also love this.
The back. I was just looking at that picture. Yeah. That looks amazing.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, one, you don't see any cables except for this little bit right here. Two, you know, the tubing, like, he could just cover this and just make it whatever, but just the fact that it, you know, again, those lines and just how clean it looks, it's like, I always wish I had these systems, because if you guys could see over here, like, this is a mess right now. So, you know, but yeah, definitely check this one out. Just an awesome build with those lines and everything like that.
It is. I wish, like, looking at some of the images, like the the cable combs. Like, there's no cable combs on that power out of there. Like, there's so much attention to detail on this, and I feel like that was almost missed. There's a better image of that, like on page two, but you know, of a different angle. It was the last
one. Yeah.
Like, I was just almost surprised, right? There's so much like work, and then those cables are just kind of. Not that my cables look any better, but when you're doing a build like this and showing it off, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Nice. I think we were, you know, when you're looking at these, you're like, oh yeah, they could have done this. They could, you know, they missed this. And like, but I think that when you're doing it, you're like, I want to get this done. I want to get this done. Yeah. Here's a look from the front. You can see, I actually kind of like, again, I just kind of like that look, like, you know, because again, we're used to seeing those big distro plates, mm-hmm. you know, up front here, and it kind of just looks cool with all this kind of stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. So definitely check this one out. Shout out to Declassified Systems. We have a link to, I believe it's their YouTube page on there, so you can check out more of their builds and all that. And then we, what do we got here? We have a video this week. So I think it was maybe a couple weeks ago. A couple weeks ago, I reviewed the ASRock X570 Phantom Gaming ITX TB3. That is their mini ITX X570 motherboard. There's only like three or four mini ITX X570 motherboards. So I want to do a video on it because I think it's such a cool little board, and the fact that it has Thunderbolt 3. So I did the video. You guys can check it out on YouTube. We'll have the link in the show notes. But you know, I go over the, I think it's a decently long video. It's 10 minutes long. I go over kind of all the features of the board and talk about it and everything like that. So if you guys, want to check that out, you can go ahead and do that. And then our contest is still going on to win a, Sabrent Rocket NVMe 4.0, 1 terabyte NVMe drive. This is a PCI Express 4.0.
Prize.
Yeah, it is a very awesome, drive. We have 5,400 total entries. Super easy to enter, like all of our contests. It's really easy, but we will be giving that out to you guys as well. 19 days left on that. And then we should be announcing another contest for a product that might help a lot of people who are stuck at home. We wanted to give something out to you guys. So we'll actually be giving away 5 of those. I'm just getting the details set up with the company, but we should have that by the end of this week. Cool. So there will be another contest as well. These both will be running concurrently, but definitely get in on this one. If you have a Ryzen 3000 series system, this is an awesome drive to have for that. So again, link is in the description, or not in the description, link is in our show notes, which is in the description of the video or audio that you guys are listening to. So that brings us to news this week. And there is some interesting things going on. Mm-hmm. So first we'll talk about desktop stuff, then we'll go to mobile. So one of the first leaked benchmarks of the Intel Core i9-10900, I guess that's what you would call it.
Yep.
Again, I guess that's what we're calling it. Yeah. The 10900K was leaked. And if you look at the benchmark scores, this was a Geekbench 5 benchmark. And if you look at the scores, here is the 10900K on the, in the multi-core. 11,390. The 9900KS is 9,475. So about 30% increase in performance. This is kind of expected, you know, because this, the 9900KS is 8-core. This is 10-core. You're getting two more cores plus expected higher clocks as well. But this is the first time we've seen it. So that kind of points to
probably right in line though. Yeah. Like you said, with what we would expect to see, but it's nice to see. New numbers from a upcoming processor.
Yeah, so this kind of makes you think that these will be coming out hopefully soon, and that's kind of like our next story here, is that Intel could be launching their Comet Lake desktop processors on April 30th. These, of course, will be part of the LGA 1200 package. That's a new CPU socket, and will require a new 400 series motherboard.
Yep. Boo.
But and all those will launch at the same time, which is really exciting, at least for me, because I'm a motherboard guy and I love seeing new motherboards. So yeah, you'll have flagship parts will be that i9-10900K, 10-core 20-thread parts. And what's interesting is that if you guys haven't been following this, Intel will have a base clock, a turbo, and then they'll have a thermal velocity boost, which is it's kind of like the what's it called on the AMD side? AMD does the same thing. Like if you have enough cooling, it will boost higher. So that processor will have a base clock of 3.7 gigahertz. And if you have the thermal velocity boost is 5.3 gigahertz, which is pretty awesome.
Probably pretty hefty water cooling required for that, I'm guessing.
Yes. I think the normal turbo is 5, but I'm not sure on that. I didn't look. But yeah, these should be launching April 30th, which is basically the end of this month since it's the first. You know what? One thing I talked about April 1st, I didn't notice a whole lot of companies. Lot of companies putting out.
I think this year is just a little different, right?
Right now, I was expecting a couple, just because like Razer usually does one.
No, I get it. You know, I wasn't on the internet hardly at all today, so I didn't really pay attention. But I think like I just had a feeling that April Fools and stuff this year is just like not going to be as much of a thing. So,
yeah, I saw a couple of websites put out fake stories, you know, but like I said, I didn't see any like companies put out stuff. But talking to something that is coming out, it's already been leaked. But last week, the mobile processors. So AMD came out with a Ryzen 9 4900HS, which is 8-core, 16-thread on mobile on a laptop, which is awesome. So you know Intel had to do something, and they kind of put out this slide. 8-core, 16-thread, i9-10980HK. Up to 5.3 gigahertz. That's thermal velocity.
That's crazy on a mobile part.
Yeah, because I forget the TDP of this thing.
95, was that?
95? No, 45 watts.
Okay.
So I don't know how long it's holding that. 5.3 gigahertz. But it's going to be pretty interesting because you have that, and then you have the NVIDIA super mobile parts launching tomorrow officially. It's already been leaked tonight. I think I just saw a news story of it. But so basically NVIDIA and Intel are launching kind of at the same time with partners ready with these products. So you'll see a lot of new laptops that have that mobile processor. And then we finally get mobile super cards, because we never got mobile supers. We got mobile RTX, and we got mobile, what is the 1660s or whatever you want to call those. And we got those in the supers actually in mobile, but we never got RTX super cards for mobile. So we're going to get those together, and the laptops should be announced tomorrow morning, which is exciting. If you've been looking for a new gaming laptop, I think that, I think now's a perfect time, because you have, again, as I always say, you have a choice now. You can go the AMD route and an 8-core 16-thread processor. You can go the Intel route with also an 8-core 16-thread processor. Then you get super cards, which give you better power delivery as well as better clocks than your normal RTX counterparts. So I think we'll see some really awesome laptops. If you're into gaming laptops, you'll see
some. Man, I go back and forth. I was like, oh, I want a new, like a gaming laptop. And I've had like an Asus like G72 back in the day. And I have like a low end Dell one right now. But then at the same time, I was like, I just want a thin and light, because I never end up gaming on them. I always think I'm going to, but I always fall back to my desktop and gaming there. So
yeah,
I think that they definitely have a spot. And like the performance you get out of some of these systems, like I was looking at some of the reviews of those AMD systems, you know, we kind of mentioned, what is it, the 9400 HS, is that right?
Yeah.
Man, it's crazy the numbers those things put out. So this is kind of cool news.
Yeah, I think that we've seen the transformation of core count and what we're getting in our desktop processors now, and to see that go into the mobile side where you really can have, I mean, it's going to be a decently heavy laptop, but you can have something that you can take with you that you can do quite a lot with. And it's not this massive, massive thing that, because like we've had great laptops that were powerhouses, but they weighed 12 pounds, you know? But in the chat, lower leg workouts, he said, what are some of the best computers or laptops for creating YouTube content? How many gigs of RAM? It all depends. I would say, if anything, I mean, you can create YouTube content on your phone. You can shoot it on your phone. You can edit it on your phone. If you have an iPhone, you get iMovies, I believe, free, maybe. And I don't know what's on the Android side for editing on your phone. There has to be something. But if you were taking video from a device and putting it on your computer and editing in Adobe Premiere, I would say at minimum 4 gigs, if not eight, probably eight.
I wouldn't go any less than eight.
If
you can get some really nice laptops with 8 gigs and like without breaking the budget that are going to do like perfectly fine. You can spend less than $1,000 on a pretty decent laptop with 8 gigs of RAM, a solid state drive, a 1080p screen, a decent processor.
I mean, and then Old Man said Walmart had some good deals. And I think you were talking about this last week. You were because you were rolling out laptops for everybody working at home, and like you can get some really awesome deals. And I think a lot of you know retailers are discounting these things because people actually like really need them.
Yeah,
you know, they don't want them, they actually need them to work. So I think there's a lot of good deals right now. But for YouTube video, I would say, you know, at least, Ryan's probably right, 8 gigabytes for editing video, especially if you're using Adobe Premiere. 16 gigabytes if you're editing 4K content, because it's just, I think you need a lot more than 8 gigs for that. Really cool stuff. Like I said, I'm really excited to see these laptops. I would love to just like play with a bunch, you know, like remember we went to the NVIDIA booth at CES or their suite, and there was all those laptops, and it was just like nice to just like, I don't have to worry about reviewing it. I just like want to play with it, see how it's playing games, like, you know, just to kind of mess with that, to really see what these can do. So that's exciting for me, I think. Moving from there. Oh, wait. Oh, yeah, we talked about this. So those will come out tomorrow. I should try to point out the news as we, or the important dates as we go through here. You'll see all that announced tomorrow with all those models, probably coming like 10 to 15 days later as far as availability. But a really interesting story came out this week about AMD and their graphics cards. It was reported that somebody stole some of their graphics IP. So they disclosed that in December 2019, they were contacted by somebody that was in possession of test files related to development of their future graphics products, which is pretty serious thing to have, considering, you know, you shouldn't have those things. You know, and this was this person put it up on
GitHub.
I think they put it up on GitHub, and they titled it AMD Navi GPU Hardware Source. And the files contained code that pointed to Navi 10, Navi 21, and Arden. If you guys aren't familiar with Arden, that's the code name for the GPU that's being used on the Xbox Series X. And then Navi 21 is RDNA 2 architecture. So obviously this is kind of like a big deal. Torrent Freak was in contact with this person as well. And they said that the files that they have are, he said they're valued at $100 million and is willing to sell them to the highest bidder, which sounds kind of crazy.
$100 million. That's a lot of money. Like,
yeah. I mean,
it could be good stuff that, there, I guess.
I mean, I don't. Yeah, I mean, there could be something that a graphics card maker would want. Maybe. I don't. I just don't. I mean, maybe, especially like the Arden thing, because that's like a custom made part. Like, you could see I guess, with these files, how it's made and how it works.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, NVIDIA is not going to buy this. Like, you know, and the thing is, too, is like everybody knows now that you stole it. So who's going to buy, you know, you're not, are you like, are you going to buy a stolen car? I'm not buying a stolen car if it's a good deal. So it's kind of interesting. But definitely the way they talked about it, if we linked to the Torrent Freak story, this person randomly found this stuff. So that kind of shows that whoever had it,
like randomly via, I mean, it's, they said it was a hacked computer. So whether they were just hacking into a system and ended up with an AMD employee's system, right?
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think that if you have those files on your computer should be secure, at least somewhat secure.
You know, a lot of things that there should be, but
yeah. So a really interesting story. We linked to the Torrent Freak article if you want to, you know, even more details on that, but it's like I said, it's pretty interesting. And then another interesting story came out this week and I read the headline. I was like, what?
Did the same thing.
But it's kind of weird. It kind of makes sense, but it's just, yeah. So Samsung said that they are going to end all LCD production by the end of 2020. So Samsung Display, they make all of course, Samsung Display products, and they make all the panels for so many other companies, that they are going to end production of liquid crystal display panels by the end of the year. Now, this does not mean that you're not going to have Samsung TVs and Samsung, because when I first saw that headline, I was like, wait, Samsung's just getting out of the
screens.
Yeah. Getting out of screens, which is like kind of what they're known for. But no, it's just LCDs, LCD panels. So liquid crystal displays. It is not going to be, they're going to really focus on AMOLED and OLED technologies. I guess the sales of their LCD has gone down because you have AMOLED and OLED technologies. And of course people are buying those. They have two factories in South Korea, or two production lines in factories in South Korea, and two LCD only factories in China. The LCD portion of these production lines and factories will be phased out, and they will, you know, be upgraded to support AMOLED and OLED. But it's kind of interesting because I think a lot of people buy pretty cheap LCD monitors, especially now, like people who are working from home, they don't need the quantum dots, they don't need any of these other things, right?
Just need a cheap display to work off of.
And so many other companies use Samsung display, like Samsung sells their displays to other people who rebrand them. Like the display I have in front of me is a Viotech did not make this panel. Samsung did.
I guess now's probably a good time for like LG to say, hey, we're going to continue making LCDs, right? And maybe some of those folks that use Samsung panels that still want to offer LCD, they're just going to go with LG or someone else.
But I do think that this is going to say, this is going to make it so these more expensive technologies will get less expensive.
Sure.
Which would be kind of nice. Getting OLED for reasonably priced. I haven't really looked into like AMOLED or even what that is, to be honest.
I'm too cheap, so yeah.
Like, yeah, me too. I'm like,
I want an OLED. He says I want an OLED TV, but they're 2 to 3 times more expensive. Yeah.
Yeah. They're OLED's very expensive, but hopefully with this, they'll, you know, more manufacturing lines, less it's just easier to make now. So hopefully the prices will go down. You know what I mean? So that's really interesting because, like, I think that low cost market still has to be there, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I mean, it's like,
I buy $215 TVs. Like,
yeah. I mean, I guess my TV was the one that I just bought was a QLED, or I don't know what it was.
That's a pretty nice model, though, right?
Yeah. It was like a decent model because I so I don't know. But like I said, I mean, there's people that buy like the $100 pan, you know. So like, I just feel like that market has a lot of people in it, but I don't know. But in any case, they're going to fill their orders till the end of 2020, and then that's it. So,
okay.
So very, very interesting. Talking about what we've been doing, and you've been really doing it. I think you're number one. You're number one on the Think Computers Folding at Home team.
I am.
I think I'm third or something because I haven't been.
Yeah, you're third.
Yeah. So folding at home, because everybody's at home and everybody wants to do their part in helping with coronavirus and trying to just, you know, do what you can. And if you're stuck at home and you have a computer or what, PlayStation, is there one that runs on Xbox too?
I don't know. Well, I don't even know if you can fold on PlayStation anymore. Like PlayStation 3, you used to be able to. It might still work. I don't know.
So like there's just everybody's doing this. But folding at home broke the exaflop barrier as the distributed computing network achieved a 1.5 exaflop performance. That is 10 times. Or wait, no, double, sorry. Yeah. I thought is it 10 times?
Yeah,
10 times. Faster. 10 times faster than the world's fastest supercomputer, which is awesome.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It is just awesome. I mean, that much computing power, and just to think that, you know, we're helping people kind of, you know, research this disease that's really hurting us and the economy and everything like that, I think is really great.
Well, that exaflop is not just for the COVID research, but it's across all of their products. Yeah. But still, it's like amazing.
Yeah, I think it's really cool. And it's really cool to see us, like, you know, I say us as in like, you know, the computer people kind of come together and do something collectively for good. I think it's really awesome. If you guys are not on Folding at Home, we have a team. The team is 242-628, and we have instructions of how to set it up, how to get it going. If you have an extra computer at home and you want to, you know, basically loan out your CPU or GPU power, it's a great thing. Both Ryan and I have been doing it. I need to set up more systems because I have them here. They're just not turned on. Yep. So definitely get on that if you are not folding at home yet. Cool stuff there. And talking about COVID-19 and what's going on. And this was kind of surprising because I was actually really thinking about going to QuakeCon this year because a lot of people I know are going and, you know, or have planned on going. It was just like, it would be like a cool event just to go and just see some friends and stuff like that. So QuakeCon 2020 is canceled. This event happens in August. So I thought, you know, like, what's kind of interesting is, didn't they reschedule Computex to what, September or October?
Something like that.
Yeah. So this was to take place in August. Everybody knows what QuakeCon is. It's really known for bring your own computer or the, you know, biggest LAN party, basically. Bethesda, who holds the events, they decided to cancel it.
25th year, too.
Yeah, and this would have been the 25th year. So that's kind of sad as well. They put out a statement on Twitter, basically that they don't think, even if, you know, everything with this disease, or not disease, this outbreak was under control, they wouldn't be able to put on the event they want to put on, which kind of makes sense. And it's kind of hard to chance. Like, you have to reserve space, you know, you have to rent out wherever this is. You have to start setting all these things and putting out this money. And if we would hope that things don't get worse than what they are now, but if they do in that time, you just wasted all that money, right?
Yeah.
You know, and it's hard for people, and you want a certain amount of turnout, and people are going to start buying plane tickets now and things now. So you kind of have to make this kind of decision now. So it is sad because, like you said, it was going to be the 25th year. And I always like seeing all the case mods for
We'll just plan to go next year and
really
plan it out. So
yeah, we should definitely do that for sure.
It's a good time.
So talking about kind of what's going on, everybody's at home, everybody's streaming, everybody's gaming, everybody's just taking all the internet's bandwidth, supposedly. have you watched any new TV shows since you've nothing?
No. I keep seeing like this tiger.
Oh my god, you have to watch it.
I don't have
it's Netflix. Hilarious.
Netflix, right? I don't have Netflix.
Oh, I can let you log in on mine if you really want to watch it. Yo, Tiger King is hilarious if you haven't seen it.
I haven't.
It's just so it is There's so many scenes in that you're just like, is this really a thing? Yeah, it's hilarious. But yeah, everybody's streaming and everybody is, you know, just taking up the bandwidth. And in order to help that, Steam has made a change to their auto update. So actually, PlayStation Network actually throttled their downloads. YouTube has set their defaults to 480p, or is it 720?
I thought it was only in certain countries.
Sure. I'm not sure. And then Netflix has also changed their quality or something to help this or whatever. So Steam has done the same thing, but they haven't done it as aggressively, I would say. So typically when you have a game that's installed on your computer, it's on your library, if an update came out, they would just push you the update immediately. You would get it. Now what they're doing is that the updates will only be served updates for the games that you played within the last 3 days. You can always manually update your game. So you don't have to worry like, oh, I won't be able to update. No, you can always update your game, but it's only the ones that were in that you've played in the past 3 days, which makes sense. And I would rather them do that than completely throttle downloads, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think they probably had a couple options of what they could do. I think this is a perfectly acceptable, right? Like if you haven't played it in a while, and most of the time updates across Steam, like number one, they're fast enough, right? They're going to deliver that content about as fast as you can pull it down.
Yeah.
And like updates most of the time, unless it's a major patch to something, they don't take much time and bandwidth anyway. So I don't see this being a big deal if it can alleviate some traffic.
They also put out some like things to kind of help everything out. One, people who are working from home, you might want to schedule the auto updates. So you can put a window in where Steam will download updates. So like say you're on a Zoom call with work and you're crushing your internet connection, downloading an update to a game. So you can set times where downloads happen, which is really nice. And then also you can turn off updates for games. So say there's a game in your library, you don't want to delete it because you don't want to re-download that 40, 50 gigs, but you might not want to have the updates because you know you're not going to play it till right. next year or something like that. You can actually turn updates off for games as well. So I like kind of how they rolled this out. It's not really it as a gamer. It doesn't really bother me because we only play really one game, you know, which isn't even on Steam. But I mean, just in general, you know what I mean? We only play one game. So a couple games maybe for a lot of people. So I like that. I guess we'll talk about GameStop, which I feel has been trying to die forever. I'm not a fan of GameStop. Only time I was actually going to, I wanted to buy an NVIDIA Shield, which we'll talk about because I wanted to put retro games on it to give something to play. And so I can like get away from the computer because we are stuck inside. Yes, it's nice to sit in front of my computer, but I work on this all day. So I'd like to escape and play something on my TV. Yeah. So I wanted to go to GameStop and get an NVIDIA Shield, but NVIDIA Shield's the pro version is sold out everywhere. GameStop did announce that they're going to close over 300 stores. I'm honestly not surprised. I don't know how this is still a business. I mean, all consoles are, you know, most of the games you can download, right? Am I right?
Yeah.
And again, most like you can order games on Amazon and get them the exact same day they come out.
Yeah, you don't worry about them opening them and them getting the discs out of their drawer. That like was always the thing that bothered me the most. Is like you go to buy a new game and like they've already opened the box for you and the disc is back there. And, like,
yeah, so they said that by the end of the year, they'll close down 331 stores, bringing the total number of stores to 5,500 locations. Or that was last year, sorry. This year, they're closing 300 more stores.
That's still a lot of stores.
Yeah, and they didn't announce which ones they were. Their big kind of like moneymaker areas are areas that don't have good internet. Mm-hmm. So you don't have people downloading those things. And those places with bad internet don't have good like, their delivery, like, you know, you don't have like a FedEx or somebody who can deliver right away, which is kind of what you want through Amazon. Yeah. So yeah, this is just, I'm just waiting for this. I've been waiting for GameStop to go under for like years. I'm just not a fan of the company. Just never have been, and how they treat their employees and everything like that. Yeah. Old man said he used to go to GameStop every week. Yeah. Back in the day, like I remember going to GameStop.
Yeah.
When Halo 2 came out, I did like the midnight thing and waited in line, and it was cool.
Yeah. I think I probably did a couple like midnight releases on thing. Yeah. I don't even know the last time I stopped into a GameStop. It was, I have no idea.
Yeah. Yeah. The only time I'd go in is if I was like buying an actual console that I couldn't get through Amazon because of like what's going on now. That's the only time. Like my friend, he's like bored out of his mind. He's like, I'm just going to go buy an Xbox. And they do like curbside, you know, you can order it and then pick it up because he couldn't get it on Amazon within like a couple weeks. So yeah. Next story is actually excited for, because if this game does come out, I will get it. Because I played the other one for a very long time. So GTA VI or GTA6.com was registered a long time ago. It was registered all the way back in 2006. Wow. And for the longest time, if you went to that domain, it just took you to Rockstar Games, which kind of made sense, right?
Sure.
You know, because a lot of people, you know, did they hit that VI by accident or, you know, it's just that's, you know. But now the DNS, for some reason, was updated on the 23rd of March and it goes to nothing. Which doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So a lot of people, I don't know how these people see this stuff.
They have like, some time on their hands. They're like, well, let's see if this got updated.
Yeah. So the DNS was updated and people are like, they're going to announce it. They're finally going to announce it, which I think it's been 6.5 years since Grand Theft Auto 5, which was and still is. If you haven't played the single player of Grand Theft Auto 5, if you're looking to kill some time, I would highly recommend that game because it's an awesome, like, I hate that we have this online thing in the single player. Like just when, remember when Battlefront came out, Star Wars Battlefront, there was no single player. And I was like, I want to play a single player Star Wars game. Like what the hell? So there's not many good single player games. I don't think anymore, at least in my opinion. So GTA 5, amazing single player game.
I want to play more of it. I never like finished it. I made it pretty far, like on console, and then I like picked it up when it came out on PC later on and started playing there, kind of like did the same stuff, and then I just, you know, fell off of it.
I liked it because you could jump between characters and their stories, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah.
But in any case, so GTA VI, they say there's an imminent announcement. That's what all the people think. We don't know. I would hope so because I would pre-order and just, you know, I'm sold on this one, but you have to realize too that it might come to console before it comes to PC, which is kind of sad.
I'm sure it will, which sucks. And it's like a year later on PC, which.
Yeah. But the thing is too, is that we do not have when's Xbox coming out? This holiday. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you could have it for that launch, but then PlayStation is farther out, right?
I think so. Yeah. I don't think they were going to make holiday season. I thought.
Yeah. So I don't know. I will see. I would like, it would be nice to have a PC launch, like all the, you know, just like how most games come out everything at once, but we'll see. But that was kind of, a, you know, interesting thing that happened this past week that got me excited about another game besides Apex. And another game that I think that if you guys haven't picked this up, is World War Z. They said it's free. I think it's till
the tomorrow.
Yeah, so if you guys are listening to this before April 2nd, go to Epic Game Store. I know you might not be a fan, but World War Z is free on there right now, and it's not just like a free weekend or a free week. No, as long as you put it in your library, it will be free from now on. The game is actually, I've seen people play it. It does look fun. I try to get Ryan to play it tonight, but I think we're going to play Apex. So yeah. It does look like a lot of fun. It's kind of like, you know, it's based off the movie. If you've seen the movie,
I added it to my library. It's just not my, like, I didn't really like, what is it? Left 4 Dead. I couldn't really get into that. It just reminded me of that. A couple of the videos I watched of it, but I don't know.
It is very like Left 4 Dead. I agree. I think it's more like more waves of zombies come at you.
Right. That kind of that horde type.
Yeah. I kind of like that. Cause I've always been a fan of like tower defense.
Oh man.
So I kind of, it gave me a sort of like shooting, like a shooting game plus tower defense in one, sort of, because I watch a lot of the videos and you kind of set up barriers and you can do different things. And
gotcha.
Any case, it is free, guys. We have the link in our article, but you can find it on Epic Game Store. You know, again, it's till the 2nd, which is, we don't have a whole lot of time to get this. So,
yep.
So yeah. And then Old Man did say that Grand Theft Auto 5 is on Xbox Game Pass. So if you have Xbox Game Pass, I believe that should be for PC and Xbox, right? Because Xbox Game Pass gives you... like there's a PC version and an Xbox version, I believe. Right. Could be wrong. But yeah. While Ryan is looking that up, I will talk about what we have coming up next week. Corsair is launching a new mouse. It is a wireless mouse, that's all I'm going to say. But they are launching a new mouse, so I'll have that for you. And then I have a massive case that's sitting... you guys can kind of see it. It's back there. It is the Thermaltake A700. This is aluminum tempered glass, matte, like big tempered glass, like heavy 5mm thick tempered glass. Like it's hard to open. It's that thick and big. It is this massive case. I haven't reviewed a Thermaltake case in a while, so I'm kind of pumped to just check it out. The internal design, I still think it's kind of dated. Well, I'll talk about that in my review. It is a big kind of monstrosity of a case. I think it's bigger than it needs to be. But if you are doing like crazy water cooling, you have a lot of space. You can kind of see that, you know, what you can really do with it. But I'll have that for you guys this upcoming week as well. So definitely stay tuned for those two reviews. And then let's talk about, have you had time to do anything tech-related, watch anything tech-related?
Nothing. Not really. I mean, filmed some B-roll yesterday, some stuff, so trying to get some of that done, but no, not really. I mean, I don't know. No.
Yeah, I wanted to get that, I wanted to get that NVIDIA Shield so I could play retro games. And in my research, apparently you could play retro games on a Fire TV stick.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, really? But if you get a little adapter that allows you to do pass through to another USB audio device, you can put games on a USB flash drive and then install RetroArch on a Fire TV stick. I have a link in our show notes of a great guy on YouTube. He made a tutorial how to do it. If you guys are bored right now and you have a Fire Stick, especially a Fire Stick 4K, that's a more powerful one, you can play retro games. And we got those. You actually told me, because I was like, I need to get a controller for this now.
Oh, yeah. You didn't tell me if it worked.
Yeah, it did. It worked. It connected. No problem. So we got these PS4 wireless controllers from Scuff Gaming. They gave us to us. Yeah. Mine looks like that, but it's just a different skin on mine.
Color scheme, yeah.
It's a nice controller. And hooked it up, and that works. RetroArch. I can't tell you where to get ROMs, but I'm sure you can find them. Google's your friend. And it's awesome. It's just like, you know, I would have spent $200 on a shield, because that's like the first thing that I found on YouTube, because I had never knew how to do that, not on a PC. So now I have like 4 game consoles in my little Fire TV stick, which is pretty awesome.
What all consoles does it run?
It runs pretty much everything up to PlayStation 1 good. So right now, like I have NES, SNES, Sega. I want to put N64, maybe PlayStation 1 on there as well. You know, so just give me, it was like a nice little project. You know, those like things you like learn how to do when it comes to computers, and it's like a project that was, it felt like a little project for me, which was kind of cool. So, it was pretty, pretty fun. But you haven't done anything, huh?
Just not doing anything.
And I also got this, which I've been really pumped for, and I haven't opened it. If you guys can see.
I saw a picture of that.
This thing is so heavy because it's made of all metal, more or less. This is the Iqnix F96 keyboard. Review will come out in a couple of weeks, but I'm really like, I don't think I'm ever gonna not use a keyboard like this.
Pretty nice, huh?
It does have some faults, which I'll talk about in my review. But so far, one of the biggest faults, which I think I'm not a fan of, is that there's no software.
Yeah.
That's kind of a bummer. Mm-hmm. You can do stuff on the, like, again, but.
I mean, I don't use the software for like, because I'm not like a big macro user at all or anything.
Yeah, me neither.
It's the lighting, right, that I want to be able to adjust. Or
you can do it on the keyboard. It's not that bad. I don't think, I mean, if you look at this too, it's not really made for RGB lighting. Like you can kind of see.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like, I don't know.
What is that light flashing in the middle of it?
That is, I don't know what that is.
Did you see that?
Yeah, no, I see it now. That's usually where I don't know what that, I think I broke it. I don't know. So, no, what's really cool is, if you look at this, okay, there's no room for like LEDs for scroll lock and for caps lock and things like that, right?
Okay.
So if you hit caps lock, I don't know if you can see it. It's not. Let me do it. I don't know what I did.
Oh, is that light in the middle?
Yeah. I don't know why it's flashing though. So I'm not sure what I did. Again, here's learning to use a product. But one of those little lights turn on. So I don't know why that's flashing. So I'll figure that out after we get off the podcast. Gotcha. But that is it, guys. Sorry to go a little off the rails there at the end. But as I always say, we have our full show notes page that has everything that we talked about. We are jumping on Twitch to play games, right?
Yep.
We playing Apex, I guess.
Yep.
I haven't
last week. We played horribly. Haven't played in a week.
Yeah.
It probably can't get worse. So
yeah. I mean, so it's just twitch.com or twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Jump on there in about 10 minutes. We'll be, you know, set up and ready to go. I need to get some snacks before we do that. So, but to everybody who tuned in with us live, thanks for coming in and hanging out. And to everybody out there, definitely stay safe out there and play some video games or do some folding at home. We'll see you guys next week.